Hi there, my name's Warren Pohl. I'm one of the co-founders at 33 Shake, and welcome to another episode of the 33 Shake podcast. Today, it's time to go to the pub. Yes, you heard right, because today's episode is all about booze and your performance. Can you drink and train without wrecking your results? And even if you can, should you? Because at 33 Shake, our mission is delivering maximum value to endurance athletes. And we do it in this podcast by sharing the very best in nutrition, training, and mindset tips and tricks for performance and endurance. And we do it in store at 33shake.com with our awesome natural sports nutrition products. With that out of the way, let's get down to the pub and onto booze and your performance. Now, as we are not the Daily Mail or another hyperbolic tabloid newspaper, we are not going to be banging on here and confusing you by 1 minute saying, booze is really good for you, and then the next minute saying, oh, it's going to give you cancer and kill you stone dead. Because both of those things are exactly that. They're pointless hyperbole, they're hokey science dressed up as a catchy headline that frankly only confuses people. And on either side of the argument, there's heavy pro and anti-booze lobbying that's paying for all this stuff. What's left in the middle is us trying to make sense of it. It's a pain in the backside. So instead of that, I think we need to look at this in a more sensible way. So what we're really going to be looking at is, what are the health impacts of alcohol for an athlete? What should you be aware about when you're drinking and making your drink choices? And how can you incorporate that into your training? Also, should you? Because also there's an element if your alcohol use or enjoyment is tipping into an overuse and not enjoyment, and that level is different for everyone, then maybe it's time for a rethink altogether. So let's have a look at the basics. This is a great quote. It's from a good friend of ours and a regular training partner. We've done a lot of training together over the years. And years ago, he said to me, you are never going to be in the middle of a race thinking, I wish I'd spent more time in the pub. And if you take nothing else from this, that is the absolute golden nugget right there. Because frankly, alcohol doesn't help your performance at all. On every level, it makes you slower. So let's just have a look. It's a diuretic, so it's going to cause dehydration. It's going to reduce strength, disrupt your sleep, and reduce your testosterone. It can increase heart rhythm abnormalities. I can't wait to go training is something nobody with a hangover ever said, so it's going to mess with your schedule. And it is only going to send your waist and your weight in one direction, and that's getting bigger. Because when you drink, the acetate in the alcohol, that becomes your sole fuel source. So all the other fuel in your body gets ignored. The body goes straight for the acetate to process that. Everything else just goes straight to your waistline. What it means as well is when you've had a few drinks and your appetite goes up, you're quite unlikely to think, oh, really fancy an acai bowl right now. And all of a sudden, Dixie Southern Unlucky Fried Kitten Chicken or whatever your local junk food emporium is of choice, that suddenly looks quite attractive. And then you're eating really late at night, and then it's all going to your waistline anyway. So, you know, we get the point. You're not stupid. Frankly, lots of booze and junk food are never going to be good for you. That's not really what we're looking at here. Because does all of this mean you should give up drinking altogether? Well, no, not really. Because if you enjoy a drink, why not? It adds a nice element to social gatherings. It's fun when you got friends around. It's a nice way to unwind at the end of the day. If you enjoy a glass of wine, whiskey, beer, whatever your tipple is, no reason not to have it. But if you do ever think, maybe I'd like to give booze up, or maybe I'd like to see how much I do depend on my relationship with booze, then you'll find out that when you do look at cutting substantially, almost entirely for say a week or whatever, cutting your alcohol intake, as you do this over time, you'll find so much of it is actually habit. It's like, well, I'm at a wedding, so of course I'm going to have a drink. Or, well, you know, it's Bob's leaving due, so of course I'm going to have a drink. Or, hey, it's a birthday party, I'm going to have a drink. These things have been culturally imprinted into us for years and years and years. And actually, most of it's habit. 9 times out of 10, if you wanted to, say you're training the next morning, you swap that drink for lime and soda, you have just as good an evening or afternoon or lunch or whatever the occasion is. And you get up much earlier with a spring in your step. So just a bit of food for thought there. So here we go. What is a healthy relationship with alcohol? I mentioned this at the top of the show. a healthy relationship with alcohol is one you're happy with. It is entirely personal. If you have any suspicion or doubt, or even evidence that your use of alcohol is affecting your job, health, relationship in a negative way, your mindset, your emotions, if they, you know you're being negatively impacted, well, that's time to A, think about slowing down, cutting down, or getting on the wagon altogether. And in serious instances, then professional help is the best way to go. Alcoholics Anonymous, that'll be the one. Now, if on the other hand, you're happy, as most people generally are, with a few drinks every now and again, you're in a good place with it, then absolutely no reason to stop. So, if you do go from, you know, whatever you do, if you make a substantial reduction in your alcohol intake in any way, it's going to get noticed. You're going to be out with friends, and as we mentioned earlier, a lot of our use and reactions to alcohol are culturally imprinted in us from a very, very early age. Same way, you know, cake goes with birthday parties, so does champagne. So, you know, alcohol comes into our lives in a number of ways. Most people are not consciously considering their relationship with alcohol and are defaulting to the standard behaviours, which means that when you do go out, if you're the person who says, you know, someone goes, oh, what are you having at the pub? And you say, just a lime and soda, please. It can freak people out. And among your close friends, family, colleagues, peers, whatever, you may get some pressure. Hey, what are you doing? Never trust a man who doesn't drink. Hey, all that sort of thing. And it can be quite easy to go, oh, yeah, sod it, I'll have a pint of lager. But if the training session the next day matters, if this is a change you want to make or you really don't want to have that drink, there's absolutely no reason to go with that peer pressure, but there's no need to give people a hard time either, because sometimes, as with food choices as well, if you do stand out from the norm in the crowd like this, people can subconsciously feel a little threatened that it reflects on them badly, so they want you to join the club. This is not like some, we're not talking about loads of alcoholics dragging each other down. This is just general social banter, and you'll find it if you do make that step down in your boozing. So, a good way to generally deflect that criticism is simply say, well, you know, I've got to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to train, or I'm gonna, even if you're getting up at 8 o'clock, doesn't matter, I've got to get up at 5, I'm doing 100 miles on the bike, or whatever it is. As soon as you say that, you've given people a reason, and often they'll be, oh wow, and then, you know, later in the evening, you can't believe it, he's getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to train, don't buy him a beer. It can work very nicely anyway. So what about the fact that alcohol is a natural product? How can that possibly be bad for you? Little bit of a divergence here between reality and marketing. So the alcohol industry has painstakingly gone to great lengths to portray its products as they're the products of these traditional artisan processes, beers, wines, ciders, spirits. They've been handed down through the generations and lovingly crafted by hand using the finest ingredients so that the product you end up with in your glass is as fine as angel tears and as pure as the driven snow. This is obviously total rubbish, because like any other mass-produced global consumer product, alcohol is made by the bucket load in the cheapest way possible in huge factories. And if you do ever get to the working end of any serious alcohol production operation, you'll find a place that sort of looks a bit like a steelworks crossed with a chemical factory and smells like a cross between a cheap hotel, an oil refinery, and a very well-used pub. And I was fortunate enough to experience all of that because when I was a journalist, way before 33 Shake, one of the things I did write about for a spell was whiskey. And I travelled to a lot of distilleries. They're very, very pretty because they've been made for visitors. The expression in the industry, they call it kilts and cottages. That's the kind of look they go for. And nothing wrong with that. It's attractive, you know. Whiskey can be a good product. But actually, even a whiskey distillery, like, if you were to see a working one, a really seriously working one, it's not that pretty. Anyway, I digress. So, when you come to that product, nothing wrong with it, you know, it's just a mass-produced product, right? When you come to it, alcohol does not legally have to have an ingredients label, so it doesn't. There might be a section on the label that says ingredients, and it might give you a couple of them, but there is no legal requirement to declare everything that is in an alcoholic beverage, so when you see anything, even if it looks like it's the ingredients, it's not all of them. This can have an impact on your performance. It's well worth being aware of what you're drinking. So let's just have a look. Among other things, beer can legally contain non-GMO rice, propylene glycol, high fructose corn syrup, and dried fish swim bladders. Well, I didn't see those in the advertising anywhere. And you did hear the last part right, the dried fish swim bladders. This is called isinglass, and it's used to make drinks look clear. It's also the reason why a lot of alcohol is not vegan, because this is very common in wine as well as it is in beer. Talking of wine, it's not quite just this like fermented grape juice. A lot of extras are allowed in wine, so alter colour, texture, taste, and all sorts of other things. These include colouring, sugar, sawdust, and yes, that isinglass, the fish bladder again. Now the best one, I really love this, cider, with 72 added ingredients. There wouldn't even be room on the ingredients label. How do we know this? So having a little dig around, we came across the UK government's guidelines for cider production. This is a document for industry. And being the fascinating, geeky, nutritional types we are here, we had a fun evening reading that. We don't expect you to go and do the same, don't worry. But there are no fewer than 72 extra permitted ingredients in cider. I mean, there may be more in beer and wine. We didn't find the same documents for those, but the cider one. Among those 72, not going to give you all here, it can legally contain aspartame, dimethyl dicarbonate, sucralose, an unlimited amount of high fructose corn syrup, colourings including acid brilliant green, E142, in case you wanted to go and get some, and tartrazine, E102. So, again, if this is freaking you out a bit about booze, don't worry about it. It's a bit like the late night kebab. Everyone knows it's not that good for you. Doesn't mean you can't enjoy it every now and again if it's your thing, right? If you were to go to craft breweries, small distilleries, or to buy organic wine, for example, you are able to get a better standard, or at least an idea that your baseline will be at a higher level. But it's not guaranteed. How can you then drink smarter if you want to? There's a few easy ways to do it. So, like I said earlier, drinking organic, that can be a good idea if you can get hold of it. Going heavy on the ice is another good one. Doesn't really work for wine or beer, or might work for cider if you're into With Nail and I, if anyone gets that old reference. But cocktails, put a load of ice in them, that water's going to dilute it a little bit. You're going to help the idea of, you know, alternating alcoholic drinks with water to maintain your hydration, because as we mentioned earlier, alcohol's a diuretic, and a large portion of hangovers is caused by dehydration, as well as all the toxins, because as you can see with what's in booze, a lot of it's not very good for you. And this comes next bit. Except no alcohol is perfect. It's never going to be. You know, like we said at the beginning, alcohol is only ever going to slow you down overall. But I drink every now and again. If you enjoy it, no bother. But just accept that and roll with it. It might not be worth the stress. And alternate your alcoholic drinks with water. But also go very high quality. What about that? Why not drink a smaller amount of something totally awesome rather than a load of stuff that you're just not going to notice? And the last one, of course, swerve it all together. Go with lime and soda. And if you do follow this route, where you got the option, soda water with fresh lime is a much better option than soda water with cordial. And this is because in most pubs, they will almost give you a like 30% cordial and 70% soda water mix. And the cordial is just neat fructose syrup. It's really bad for you. It's almost as bad as the booze. So you don't really want to be having any of that, you know, splash of it if you can. But if you can just get fresh lime where they're squeezing a bit of lime into the water, brilliant. So there you go. That is booze and your performance and how you can navigate the choppy, boozy waters to hopefully, if you do enjoy a drink, keep enjoying a drink without messing up your performance and helping yourself go faster, keep all your training goals on point. So look, well, hey, hope you enjoyed that one, and let us know, what do you do with booze and your performance? Have you cut it all together? Do you mix things up from race season to out of season? What's your preferred method? We would love to hear from you, so drop us a line. All of our social links and email are in the contact notes below. And you know, if you know someone else who'd enjoy this, then please feel free to share it with them. Of course, if you are also looking for the very best in sports nutrition for your running, cycling, or triathlon performance, then why not check us out? You'll find us at 33shake.com.